Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. What a blessing it is when we have the confidence of heaven. Amen. The reality of an eternal place of glory. And of course, Sunday nights we've been in our Revelation series, and we've been teaching here at the end of Revelations, teaching on what the Bible reveals concerning heaven, and what a blessing that is. So make sure you plan on coming back tonight as we'll continue in our study in Revelation. This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Philippians in chapter 3, Philippians in chapter 3, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and this is where the Lord has us this morning. What a blessing that is to me, and I trust it's going to be a blessing to you as well. Philippians in chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, probably two of the most well-known passages of the Scriptures that you might already have learned and can memorize, have memorized and can quote. We're going to start reading in verse 4, and we're going to read down to verse 14. Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 4. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together this morning. And basically here, Paul writing to the church at Philippi, and he in chapter 3, he's summarizing his life. And what he reveals to be the most important thing in his life. And I think we can learn from that this morning. And you have acknowledged the importance of Sunday being the Lord's Day because you're in church this morning. And praise the Lord for that. And what exciting it is. I know that this is Labor Day weekend. And we have a lot of people traveling and different things. Some people have traveled, come into Indianapolis. I told Brother Jeremiah, I looked at the choir, and I thought it was an ensemble up there in the choir. Usually it's having a problem trying to fit everybody into the choir, but they still did a great job. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. And no matter how many people are here, the Lord is here with us. That's what's most important. And we praise the Lord. We want to worship Him and receive what God has for us here this morning. So I trust that you are ready to receive, if you're already plugged in to what God has for us here today. Philippians in chapter 3, begin reading in verse 4, we'll end in verse 14. The Bible says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, Paul says, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Ye doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Look at verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before You this morning, we thank You for the privilege it is to be in church, to be able to worship You freely. Thank You, Lord God, for what we've already experienced and just coming through the doors of this church, sensing Your presence here, being able to sing praises unto Thy name and receiving the blessing of a message through song. And now to open up the scriptures, study in this passage of Philippians. I just pray, God, that you would speak to us through this passage. I ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, in chapter 3, in verses 4 through 6, we find what Paul had achieved before Christ, his credentials, if you will. And Paul was on a fast track to climb the ladder of success in his day and age. And so he presents all these things that he had achieved before Christ. In verse 7 through 9, what he was willing to give up. Everything that he had achieved for himself, he's ready to give it all up. Because what was gained to him was nothing compared to what Christ had for him. So what he was willing to give up in verse 7 through 9. Verse 10, he reveals what he desired in his life. Now that he knows Christ, now that he's been saved by faith. What he desired in this life. First of all, he says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. To know Christ as God. To know Jesus Christ not only as a sacrificial lamb, he had to come, he had to pay the sin debt of humanity, but he was always God. And to know him, his Savior, as God, in the power of his resurrection, to know Jesus Christ as Lord of lords and King of kings, what a blessing. Paul says, I want to know him like that. He also says, and the fellowship of his suffering, to identify with his humanity. To know God had such a great love for humanity that God himself, the creator of all things, came to this earth in the form of a servant. Was born of a virgin, God in human flesh, to live a life that we could all look to. And Paul says, I want to know Jesus as God in the power of his resurrection. I want to identify with his humanity and the fellowship of his sufferings. I can identify with his humanity. That's what I am. I'm human. He came to identify with man. I can identify with Christ. And then lastly, he says, and being made conformable unto his death. I want to conform to do his will for life. Now, verse 10, powerful verse. But this was Paul's desire in this life. That was not the way he was going before he met Christ. He had set himself up for success in this world and even in religion. But then he met Christ. And his life changed. His goals for life changed. And this is Paul's goals for life in verse 10. Paul had a lifelong endeavor to be Christ-like. Can I tell you, if you're saved here this morning, you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within inside of you. You know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And it's God's will for every believer to have a lifelong endeavor to be Christ-like. That is God's will for every one of us here that know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Hopefully you can identify with Paul's desire for the rest of his life in verse 10. In verse 12, we find that Paul says, not that as though I had already attained. Either we're already perfect, but I follow after. Not that we will ever attain this to perfection. Jesus did not have a sin nature. Every one of us have a sin nature. And that sin nature will raise its ugly head from time to time, and we will fail, and we will sin from time to time. And Paul says, not that I've obtained to this Christ-likeness to its fullest, to perfection, to full maturity, and not that we will ever attain this in this body, but it's what we follow after. Amen. You understand that? That's what we ought to have a desire to do. Not, the desire ought to be that we sin not. Desire ought to be that we do not fail, that we live as Christians, as Christ-like. That's what Paul's saying there. And then the most familiar passage of Scripture, the verse 13 and 14. Now, all this leading up to it hopefully makes verse 13 and 14 even that more, much more powerful. And Paul says, in order to do this, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. If I'm going to accomplish my goals, if I'm going to do what I've set out to do in knowing Christ, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things. That's very important. We'll get back to that, which are before. But then in verse 14, and the title to the message, if you will, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The message this morning that I believe that God would have us to focus on is press toward. No matter where you're at this morning, no matter what's going on in your life, the message of press on. Go forward. Can I tell you that too many believers are hung up on the past? And you can't go forward until you forget. So many are hung up on things of the past, and because we're hung up on the things of the past, we're not moving forward. And there's so much more that God has for the church to do. There's so much more that God has for you and your life to accomplish. If God was finished with you, then He would have already taken you home. He has each one of us here in this church age, in this 21st century, for a purpose. Satan would love to get you hung up on a lot of the things of this world and keep you from fulfilling God's purpose for your life. And God's purpose for your life is to move on, to press on, press toward. So, first of all, Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. So, I'm going to encourage you this morning, as we study this passage of Scripture and from the message that Paul has for us, forget the past. Or at least those things that will not help you to press toward. Now, praise the Lord for the past things that God has taken us through that will prepare us to go forward. Praise the Lord for all of our Bible understanding. Praise the Lord for those Sunday school messages that you received as a child if you were raised in church. Praise the Lord for the instructions of mom and dad. Praise the Lord for every verse that you've ever put to memory from the Word of God. Praise the Lord for every example, for every situation that God has taken you through every trial, through every bit of trouble that you've ever been through that God has used to strengthen you. Praise the Lord for that. He's not telling you to forget those things. He's talking about those things that have you hung up, that's keeping you from moving forward. Those things that Satan would use in your life to keep you from moving on, to keep you from going forward, to keep you from pressing toward the mark. Those things that will not help you in pressing forward need to forget. I don't know how many fishermen we might have here, but I love this, an illustration, a fishing illustration. And I used to fish a lot more than I do now, but I still enjoy every now and then getting out and going fishing. And Mel Rosales, he's the one that taught me how to bass fish. He's the one that helped me to purchase my first bass boat, all the different things there. And one thing that Melrose taught me in fishing was you can't catch fish unless your line is in the water. That, I mean, simple but very true. You know, so the more you keep your line in the water, the best chance you have of catching fish. I remember one time we was out fishing, and it was in three in a boat, and we were fishing toward the bank. And you never know when the fish or where the fish are going to bite. Sometimes it's on the bank, and other times it might be out in the middle of the water. All depends on what's going on. But we were fishing, And all of a sudden, Melrose turned around and he threw this line behind the boat out in the open water. Because he, as being a very good fisherman, he seen minnows busting the water. When minnows jump out of the water, it's because a bigger fish is chasing it. And the key to getting away from the bigger fish is to get out of the fish's way and jumping out of the water. And so he turned around to see that, and there was a fishing frenzy going on. Now, if you've ever been fishing, most people going fishing, the fish always bit the day before. And we and I get out there, it's all over. You know, there's no fish biting today. But anyway, every now and then you'll get into a fish frenzy where the fish are just, for whatever reason, they're feeding. And Melrose turned around and these fish were jumping and he threw out and the first cast he caught one. And the guy behind me, I was in the middle of the boat, the guy behind me turned around and cast out and he caught one. Well, at that time I had just cast up to the bank and I was trying to reel it in and I got hung up. I'm hung up and trying to get this thing undone, and there every time he casts and catches another, and the guy on this side casts and catches another. I'm sitting there watching them, and I'm thinking, the fish frenzy's behind me, but I'm hung up. And I just kept on trying to get it unhooked and unhung, and it was hung up in a tree. And those barbed wires, they were not going to let go. And I just kept trying to pull it out and pull it out. And every time I'd look over, Melrose catching another fish. And Steve, I think it was, catching another fish. And I can't, And Melrose looked over and he says, cut the line. And I thought, oh. If the fish are this way and I'm hung up that way, cut the line. God has so much going on ahead of us. We have so much in this life that God wants us to continue to do for Him. That we're living in a day and age. It's a very exciting day and age to live in, this 21st century church age Christianity, when there's great apostasy everywhere. People today are not the children, they're not raising their children to believe in God. There's so many people that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even in, I'm talking America here. And there's such a great need for Christianity to let their light so shine. There's such a great need for Christianity to pull in the fish. But we're sitting there watching, and we're doing what I was doing. Hung up. So hung up that I'm losing valuable opportunities to catch fish. Opportunities to do a work for God that this world so desperately needs, for somebody to stand up and say, no, this is what God says. This is what you need. And can I tell you this morning, some are here this morning that are hung up on the past. And you're not going forward because you're hung up on past hurts. You're hung up on past pains. Somebody's done you wrong. It could have been a Sunday school teacher. It could have been a pastor. It could have been your mom and dad who raised you in church and now they're not in church or whatever. And there's pain associated with this. You're hung up on past disappointments over this and that and whatever. And Satan has allowed this, has worked this in your life. And you're hung up on the past. And Paul says, forget those things. What's important right now, let's catch the fish. Cut that line. Put behind what others have done to you. Forgetting those things which are behind. Can we really forget? The thing of it is, whatever you've seen, whatever you've heard, whatever experience you've had, it's in your mind. I wish we could erase that. You cannot erase it, but you can forgive. And when you forgive, it's not forgetting, it's saying, I am willing to put that behind and never bring it back up again. Whoa. That's saying, I'm going to forget the things behind and move forward with those things that are before us. I don't know what it might be. I don't know what's going on in your life. I believe that this is the message God wanted me to preach, and I believe it's exactly what we have need of. Sometimes we can't erase until you forgive. Jesus, what an excellent example. All he did was to come to show love. All he did was to come to help humanity, to seek and to save that which was lost. He healed the blind and the lame, the leprous. He raised the dead. He just wanted to help humanity to understand God's plan of salvation. And now he finds himself on the cross. And the very same people that he healed and that he taught and that worshiped him at one point, now they're coming by and they're spitting in his face and they're yelling obscenities to him and they're saying, crucify him, crucify him. If he got hung up on that, he would not have followed through with death. He came to die for humanity. He came to lay his life down for you. He came to pay your sin debt, a debt that you owed and could not pay. He didn't get hung up on that. He looked up to heaven. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't know who has hurt you or what situation that you have or that you're hung up on this morning, but can I tell you that if it's keeping you from going forward, it's Satan working that. He is the enemy, not the individual. Don't let Satan control your future by getting you, keeping you living in the past. That's what Paul says. That's what God says. Forget the past. Forget the past. As you forget the past, I think the second thing that we want to see here from the example of the Apostle Paul and reaching forth and those things, can I tell you, before you can do that, you have to also not only forgive others and forget that, but you have to forgive yourself. Paul could have beaten himself up over what he had done in his past. Paul allowed the world to dictate what he prepared himself to accomplish. Paul was very ambitious. Paul was very motivated, but his motivation was to climb the stairs of success. He wanted to be somebody even in the religious realm of things. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Amen. He was raised to believe in a God, but he was raised to want to get a position over humanity. That's how the Pharisees were. Paul could have, through his own self-righteous mentality, beating himself up over that. His past, before he knew Christ, was to attack Christ. In the name of God, he was persecuting the church. But it wasn't the true God. That's what Paul says. If you look back over there, he says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He says, I was blameless. In his own self-righteous mentality and his ambitions, he was actually allowing Satan to work through him to attack the very work of God. He could have been hung up on that. Now, how could he got hung up on that? I'm not worthy. No, I can't teach that Sunday school class. You don't know my past. No, I can't tell somebody, I can't do that, I can't serve there, I can't do this, I can't do that. Why? You don't know my past. Let me ask you something. Have you sought for forgiveness? If you've sought for forgiveness, praise the Lord for that. Something inside of you said, I messed up. That's not how I want to live my life. That's not the mentality that I want to have. I have failed in the past. I have not done what I should have done. And I've not lived up to what I should have been doing and to the potential of serving God. But now I understand that. And Paul says he did that ignorantly before. And he sought for forgiveness. And listen to me. Forgiveness was granted. If God has granted you forgiveness, and if God has a purpose and a plan for the rest of your life, who are you not to forgive yourself? Who are you to say that I'm not worthy to do this and I'm not worthy to do that and I don't deserve to be on even a bus route? I don't deserve to teach a Sunday school class. I don't deserve to do this. Listen to me. Forget those things. Forgive yourself. Every one of us here have a past. There's many things in my past that I'm not pleased with, and I wish I could go back and undo them. And because of those things, I have given Satan a little bit more opportunity to work against me. And you have too. But are you going to let that continue to destroy the rest of your life and hinder you from accomplishing what God has for you to accomplish for the rest of your life? Forgive yourself. He sought God's forgiveness and was forgiven. Paul could not allow past sins to hinder him from future accomplishments. Don't get hung up over past sins. You're catching fish. You're catching fish. I'm hung up. Cut the line. Yeah. Cut the line. Because if you cut the line, then you have a line to put another lure on, turn around, and catch fish with everybody else. But you have to cut the line. Forgetting those things which are behind. And the last thing this morning, focus on the mark. I press toward the mark. What is the mark? Paul's goal for his life. Let me ask you something. Do you have one? If you're a Christian here this morning, listen to me. You ought to have a goal for your Christian life. If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are a Christian, and God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God says you're the light of the world, the salt of the earth. God says, I want to work through you. I want you to be that Christian husband or the Christian wife that I need you to be. I want you to be that Christian parent that you need to be. I need you to be that Christian example to the world that you need to be. I need you to be that Christian man or that Christian woman or that Christian teenager in the church that I've planted you in. Do you have a goal for your life? Or are you just sitting there hung up? You're not accomplishing anything. You're not going to catch a fish with your lure hung up on a log. Do you have a goal? What is it? If you don't have one, can I encourage you to adopt Paul's? Because that's really God's will for every one of us. To know Christ as God. To know your Savior is omnipotent, omniscient, immutable, eternal. And I could go on and on and on. Your Savior, the God that you serve, is all powerful. Nothing as powerful as your God. The God that you serve is omniscient. There's nothing that He doesn't know. Your God is immutable. He will not change. Once you learn it, it's the same. It will not change. And it's eternal. It goes far beyond this life. To know Him. To identify with His humanity. Be Christ-like no matter what the persecution, no matter what the suffering, no matter what the trials. Don't quit when the going gets tough. It will get tough. There will be disappointments. There will be heartache. There will be pain. There will be things that's going on. Don't quit. Sure glad that Jesus didn't quit. Conforming to do His will for life. And it's conforming to His will. Don't conform to this world. Don't conform to your flesh. Conform to His will. Look to those things. Forget those things that will hinder you from being what God wants you to be. From accomplishing things that God wants you to accomplish. Forget those things. Whatever those things might be. And then look to those things that will help you reach the mark. God has put things in our lives, those things in our lives that will help us to reach the mark, the goal. Where you at? Christian, where you at this morning? Are you hung up? Are you hung up? You needed to hear someone say, cut the line. I'm telling you this morning. Cut the line. Cut the line. Press toward the mark. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. First of all, are you saved? You don't have a line in the water unless you're saved. You got to get saved. You got to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Once you know that you are saved, you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, don't get hung up. Set a goal. Press toward that goal every day and every day and every day. Starting today. Starting right now. Cut the line. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your word. I pray this morning, God, that You'd work in our midst. I pray, God, that those You know that are hung up, I pray that today, this morning, they have revealed, You have revealed to them what they need to do in moving forward. And I pray this morning would be the first day of the rest of their lives in serving You. Help them to cut the line this morning. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name. Amen.